Morning.
Morning.
Welcome to worship here at Kemeny Parish Church. Welcome to all who are present, watching live online or on catch-up. We are delighted to be together as God's people. Just a few intimations at the start of our time. A reminder, as we have heard, coming up in November on the 17th, we'll take part in the Tier Fund Big Quiz. It'll be 17th November, 7 p.m. in the Church Center. Please look at the other information listed. And please speak to one of our clerks, Rita or Sheila, or a member of our social committee to reserve a table. I believe we're also still looking for AV volunteers for people to help with computer, PA, and video operations up in the balcony during the services. If you're interested in learning more about this, full training will be provided. And when he returns, you can speak with Mr. Jim Buchan for more information. A reminder, this week our Bible discovery groups will be continuing. I thought I saw David Bale, are you here? Yes, there you are, you're hiding. Is your Monday group continuing this week? At 7:30 in the Church Center. Yes, on the Gospel of Matthew. And this Wednesday we'll continue, Kylie and I will continue with our study of the book of Revelation, also at 7:30. So Mondays and Wednesdays we'll have two opportunities to study scripture together. And even if you've never been before, each class is meant to be open to new people. So even if you have never been, or if you feel like your knowledge of Scripture is less than robust, that's okay. That's why we come along to study Scripture together. So please do consider coming along if either of those dates and times fits your diary. And now I would ask Mr. Jeff Thomas to come forward to share one more intimation. Jeff.
October is available after 12 o'clock from the Church Centre. This is for all of the elders who are care area elders and those who deliver. Okay, if you haven't got a key, you then need to see someone that has, or you can get it Tuesday through Friday when Loaves and Fishes are open. Okay, I'm doing this because Stuart's in Australia. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. We trust that Stuart's coming back from Australia as well. Yes, indeed. No. He's on holiday, I think, through this week. He'll be back to work the next week, I believe, is his schedule. So, are there any other intimations to share at the start of our time together? Anything else at all? With those shared, then, let us worship our God through the gift of music by singing our first hymn, God of Hosts, You Chose a Vine. And during the singing of this hymn, our offering for God's continued work here in Kemeny and beyond will be uplifted.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Living God, you are Lord of all creation. At one word from you, all things came into being. You reign over every aspect of all that you have made. From the rising of the sun until its setting, you are Lord. Because of who you are, because you are love, you are worthy of all honor, all praise, and all trust. But we confess that time and again, even though you have fashioned and formed each of us as your own, even though you have done everything for us and more, we confess that all too often we have been slow to trust you. We've been quick to trust in other lesser things. We confess, Lord, that we often fall short. Forgive us, we pray. And in the silence of our hearts, in the next few moments, we confess to you all of those burdens, all of those sins, all of those struggles, all those things that trouble us most. The gospel is good news for all. The gospel tells us that if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Lord, we are so grateful that your faithfulness towards us is made new every morning. We are grateful that your grace causes each of our cups to truly overflow. As disciples of Jesus, we pray that you'll help each of us to rightly use our time, our talents, and our resources to further the good news of the gospel here in Kemne and beyond. As a sign of our trust, of our renewed faithfulness in you, as a sign that we ourselves yearn to belong to you more and more, we join our voices now in prayer with the very words taught to us by Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay. Now I'm on. We'll start over. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What do we notice about this page? He's building an ark and there's no words on the page. Exactly. So we can tell he's built this really big boat. And what else do we see around the boat?
Lots of people stacking up food.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the food's for?
The animals on the boat.
The animals on the boat. Yeah, there you go. Let's go to the next page. What about this page? Mm-hmm. What different animals do you guys see? You see elephants, lions, penguins,
birds,
bats. There's so many different kinds. What about this weird fuzzy animal that's hanging onto the elephant's trunk?
A koala.
Yes, it's a koala. What about the other one? Do you know what that weird animal is?
Sloth.
It's a sloth. Have any of you guys seen a sloth? I've never seen a sloth, but I kind of want to see a sloth. Excellent. Let's go to the next page. What about this page?
He's getting all the animals on the boat.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. It is raining, and all the animals are standing outside the boat. Because some of the animals got to get on the boat, but the other ones didn't. So they don't get to go on the boat ride. And then the water rises because it's raining. And then we have a look. It's been a long time since they've been on the boat, right? And then at the very end, when it's rained a whole lot, what does Noah do?
He sent a dove to go and get, see if he can bring back a leaf to show that there was land.
Good job. You know this story already. You don't need words, do you? Good. And the dove brings back what?
A leaf.
Exactly. Which means what? If there's a leaf in his mouth, what do you think that means?
That there's land.
That there's land. There you go. And once all the animals get off, what do we see?
It's all a mess and really smelly.
It's probably smelly, isn't it? Yeah. Do you guys see this hill through that door right there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What hill does it look like?
Ben-A-Hee.
It does look like Ben-A-Hee. I noticed that this morning when I was looking through it. Good. So we know that the boat probably was super stinky and super messy once all the animals got out. Can you imagine how smelly it would be with dozens and dozens of animals on a boat?
No.
No. Would you want to be on that boat?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't really want to be on that boat either. But they finally get off the boat, and what do we see here? Yes?
A rainbow.
A rainbow. Good job. Do you know what the rainbow means?
They're happy.
Yeah, that they're happy. That's good. The rainbow means that God has promised never to flood the earth again. These people get to live in this land forever. And every time they see this rainbow, they know that God has promised to always be with them. Now, can we pick out Ben-A-Hee in this photo again?
Yeah.
It's probably not really Ben-A-Hee, but I think it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And the last words in the book, can somebody read this for me?
And he planted a vineyard.
Vineyard. Good job. And he planted a vineyard, which means that he gets to start his life again on the earth, and he plants all of these wonderful things with all the animals that he's brought. And so Noah's Ark is the story of how God has protected his people and protected the animals so that they once again can live in the land.
Yeah.
So you guys could put that story together without any words, couldn't you?
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive. Shall we pray? And then after that, you guys can go to kids' time. Okay. Dear Lord, thank you that you protect us and see us through all the storms of life. Thank you that you love us and that you look down at us and protect us from everything that might happen. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right, you guys want to go sit down?
Thank you, Kylie. We continue to worship through the gift of music by singing our next hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way.
Thank you.
today's passage, we are talking about Noah, and instead of reading all four chapters to you, I've put together a narrative that says basically the same thing without reading all four chapters. There once was a land filled with corruption, debauchery, wickedness, and unfaithfulness. In fact, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who wasn't utterly captured by their own sinful patterns. God looked and saw how far the people had run away from him, how stubbornly they shunned him and rejected faith. God was disturbed and saddened by the people. But there was one family amongst them all who had not succumbed as wholly to sin. In fact, the patriarch, Noah, was considered an upright and blameless member of society, and God looked on his family with favor. But God gave the wicked people what they wanted, an eternity to be left to their own devices, to die without relationship with God. So he sent a great flood to wipe clean the depravity of the world. But he protected Noah and his family. God told them to build an ark, to collect enough animals to continue the species, to gather enough food and supplies for animals and humans alike. This was God's great mission to protect the faithful. And the rains came, they poured, they drenched the ground, and the waters began to rise. As the waters rose, whoever and whatever wasn't on the boat was slowly drowned, laid to rest on the rising sea floor. It wasn't a pretty picture of happy animals on a boat quietly sailing away, but a heartbreaking story of death, the kind of death that unrepentant sin brings about. But through this storm, God had sustained his people. God had provided safety and assurance to those who loved him. It was a long journey, days and weeks and months of a rocking boat, cooped up animals, excrement, and damp fur. But after what must have felt an eternity, the rain stopped, the sea calmed, and the sun came out, and the boat, it simply floated. Noah and his family perked up. Could this be the end? Noah threw open a window and beckoned for a dove. He sent the dove out to find dry ground. Such hope wrapped up in one bird. Such hope that they might get to disembark the boat. But the dove came back empty-handed, more waiting. The next time the dove went out, it came back with a leaf. There was dry ground, but maybe not enough, more waiting. So the next time the dove went out, it didn't come back. Finally, it was time to step out of the boat and see the new land that God had given them. And it was beautiful, rich and fertile, filled with the animals God had protected, and it was good for raising a family. God made a promise. Never again would he flood the earth. Never again would he leave people to their own devices, to succumb to their evil desires. And he symbolized this promise with a rainbow. And this is God's covenant, God's promise to us. We are protected and sustained in relationship with God, with a rainbow to remind us.
Thank you, Kylie. We continue in worship now with singing our next hymn, Where Are the Voices for the Earth? Let us pray. Lord, at this time as we gather around your word, as we consider again the lessons we might draw from the story of Noah, for the ways that even in the midst of judgment, you held true to your promises and sustained your people. As we reflect on this story together, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts, meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, Lord. You are the strength and the redemption of all who call on you in faith. Amen. So this week we are continuing with our journey through what we are calling the Gospel of Genesis. From the very start of this series, just a few weeks ago, the fundamental claim, the foundational claim that we want to make is that the gospel, what does gospel mean? Good news. The good news of salvation, of redemption, is not just found in the New Testament. That the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, are not just some grand run-up to the main event. But rather, God's great drama of redemption, of salvation, of wholeness for all of creation is interwoven into the story from the very beginning, from the first pages of Genesis and onward. There's just as much gospel in Genesis as there is in any other part of Scripture. And that's what makes it good news. And today, as we know, we're dealing with the very well-known story of Noah and the flood. And it would be false to say that this story does not include a lot of judgment, destruction, and death. And yet we've also said that Genesis is also the gospel. It is also good news. And so, as is the case with any well-known story to us, as we ponder this story together, we have to ask God for the grace to listen to it anew, to hear this story with fresh ears, to read it with fresh eyes, so we can hear the gospel coming through, even in a story that we associate with destruction and judgment. So first, what do we know about Noah himself? What do we know about him? We know that Genesis lists him as the grandson of Methuselah. It also tells us that Noah had, how many sons did he have? Three. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We've also heard this morning that Noah was known by others as one who was blameless. This doesn't mean that Noah was perfect, far from it. But what this is trying to tell us in the context of the story is that, unlike those around him, that Noah and his family were largely uncontaminated by the moral wickedness by which he was surrounded. Noah lived in a culture that was unimaginably degraded, horribly corrupt, and yet he himself was different. Genesis paints him as one of the few, if not the only, man of faith in an entire world that had turned its back on God. Makes me think about a line by Henry David Thoreau, who once said, "If I seem to walk out of step with others, it's because I'm listening to another drumbeat." That's a good description of Noah. It's a good description of genuine faith. That any Christian, any believer who embraces a deep faith in God will wind up walking through life to another kind of drumbeat. Being a Christian, a follower of God, a disciple of Jesus, it means that in some way or another, we are going to be out of step with the world. There is no way to be a disciple of Jesus and completely fit in at the same time. If we are disciples of God, it means you are going to have to make decisions that distinguish us from the rest of the world in which we live. That's what made Noah different. He marched to a different beat. He walked in a different way, and it showed. So Noah lived differently than those who were around him. But what else do we know about Noah from the text? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, Noah is described as a man who walked with God. A man who walked with God. Raise your hands if you like going walking. Right? I do quite a bit. Now, when you go walking with someone, presuming, okay, how do you walk when you walk with someone? Do you walk in front of them? Behind them? That's why I walk with David Bale, because I can't keep up with him. But generally, when you walk, though, where do you walk? Do you walk alongside, right? And what do you do while you're walking with somebody? You have a blether, right? Have a conversation. Share stories. Talk about life. Become known and know someone in new and interesting ways. And Noah is described as someone who walked with God. Not walking in front of God, not walking behind, but walking with God. And in fact, in all of history, throughout all of Scripture, there's only two people who Scripture describes as walking with God. Noah and, any guesses? Enoch. But you weren't expecting that one. Noah and Enoch are the only two people of whom this particular phrase is ever said. Walking with God. It means to move in the same direction at the same pace in which God is going. It means to keep in step with God. That's the kind of man that Noah was. He was also a man of obedience. In chapter 6, verse 22, the text tells us how Noah responded to God's command for him to build the ark according to God's specifications. The text tells us Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. And again, in chapter 7, verse 5, after being told to go into the ark with all of the animals, we've seen these wonderfully vivid pictures that Kylie shared with us in the children's time. We know it wasn't exactly a luxury cruise. It says again, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him to do. As one who walked with God, Noah never shied away from obedience, even when that obedience to God put him at odds with others, even when that obedience to God's commands made him look like a fool in the eyes of others. Because surely that's how Noah must have looked to other people. Imagine this. Close your eyes for a second. Close your eyes. Imagine this enormous ark and seeing Noah leading the animals two by two into said ark. And there's not a cloud in the sky. What on earth, we think, is Noah thinking? But all Noah was, open your eyes, Noah was concerned about was obeying God's command. And we don't know if Noah had any internal doubts. The text is silent on the issue. But we know that Noah is a human being, so maybe he did have doubts, maybe he didn't. But we do know is that doubts or not, he chose to obey and to trust God down to the letter. Even when others would not understand, even when he himself did not understand. So in this part of the Gospel of Genesis, God called his servant Noah to make a proactive leap of faith. God asked Noah to trust him, to do everything he commanded him, and that's what Noah did. And in one very real sense, every disciple of Jesus has the same sort of call from God. the call of obedience is placed upon each of our lives from God. This is made clear for us in the New Testament as well. Right from the very start, when Jesus called his first disciples, they're out fishing with their nets, and he said, "Come and follow me." I think a better translation is, "Come and obey me." Right? Conform your life to my teachings, is what he was saying. Obedience to God is the very heart of what it means to be a disciple. Time and again, I've heard a lot of talk in my ministry about the need for a church or the church as a whole to have a successful ministry. When I was first ordained as a pastor some years ago, somebody said, "I hope you have a very successful ministry." Seems like a nice thing to say, but it kind of stuck in my head, obviously. I still remember it. And we know what we usually mean when we say such things about a church or about a pastor or about our own lives. It means, we usually mean, more people coming to worship, more influence in our culture, perhaps even a bigger financial budget. We have usual things we associate with success. And I have to admit that none of those things are inherently bad things. At the same time, the story of Noah, the good news of Noah's story, challenges us at the most fundamental level to reconsider what we mean here in Kemne Kirk when we say that we want a successful ministry. Friends, the greatest kind of success we can have is not more people in the chairs. It is not an increased budget. The greatest kind of success we can have is found in obedience to God. It is found in faithfulness to God's call, wherever that call may lead. I recently came across a story about a missionary from the earliest 20th century, a fellow named Dr. William Leslie. Anybody ever heard of Dr. William Leslie before? I'm not surprised, nor had I. This is new to me. But in 1912, he trained as a medical missionary, and he went to live and minister to tribal people in a remote corner of the Democratic Republic of Congo. He moved his whole life out there to try and make a difference, to try and have a successful ministry of winning converts and all the things that we hope for. He was out there in Congo for 17 years. And in 17 years, he did not see one single convert. I'm trying to let that in for a second. 17 years and not seeing a single convert. He returned to the United States a very discouraged man, believing totally that he had wasted 17 years of his life, that he wasn't successful, and then 9 years after he returned to the United States, he passed away. We thought that was the end of the story. But it wasn't. In 2010, just 8 years ago, another missionary team made a shocking discovery in that same corner of the Congo. When they came there, they found a network of churches hidden like glittering diamonds in the dense jungle, the same area where Dr. Leslie had devoted 17 years of his life. They found a church in each of the 8 villages they visited, scattered across 34 miles. They basically had their own presbytery out there. The team that went out there even found a 1,000-seat stone cathedral in one of the villages. They learned that this church got so crowded in the 1980s, with people walking many miles to attend, that a church planting movement began in the surrounding villages based off of that. Now, Dr. Leslie thought that he was a failure. he wasn't a success. Is that the case? Can't hear you. No, not by any means. Dr. Leslie was obedient and faithful to God's calling, to God's instruction, even though he did not see the results of his own labors. The same is true for our lives as well. We hardly ever see the end results of our own labors, do we? We see maybe a picture. We see maybe in part, but we do not get the whole picture ourselves. But being a disciple is not about seeing the whole picture. Like Noah, like Dr. Leslie, being a disciple is all about being faithful. It is about being obedient to God's will, to go where God points us to go, to live as God calls us to live, to trust in his plans for us, even when we can't see where they will lead. I think that is some of the good news in the story of Noah. The man who lived his life from a posture of obedience. And we see what happened, how God worked his faithful promises through Noah, through his lineage, carrying on his promise to always be God with us. That is the good news today from the Gospel of Genesis. Let us pray. Living God, thank you for the Gospel of Genesis, for the good news that we learn from the story of Noah. Thank you for Noah's example of faithfulness and obedience. But even more, thank you for the faithfulness you showed to him in this story as well. Help us to know, Lord, that the same call of obedience and faithfulness is placed upon each of our lives, and even especially when we don't understand. Help us to trust you with our whole lives. Wherever we're at, help each of us to take a leap of faith and to trust you, to follow your call wherever it may go. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's continue now in worship with singing our next hymn, Touch the Earth Lightly. God's call is upon each of our lives. We are called to be faithful. We are called to be obedient to God's will, however it may lead. But we cannot do this on our own. We need God's help, God's grace, God's love and mercy to live our lives as disciples. And that is why we gather together now around this table. We gather together as God's people to meet the one who is truly faithful, who is truly obedient, the one through whom we have received reconciliation with God. We gather together to meet Jesus himself at this table. And whether we have carried them for days, weeks, months, years, or lifetimes, right now we are called to lay all of our cares, all of our troubles upon this table. It is here that we are called to take on the yoke of Jesus Christ. For it is light, it is easy, it is grace. It is here we receive nourishment for our journey as disciples. It is here that we receive, we take in again the redeeming good news of the gospel. And this table here does not belong to Kemnay Church. It does not belong to the Church of Scotland. It only belongs to Jesus. Jesus alone decides who may come and partake. And his arms, my friends, are open wide to us all, saying, "Come, taste and see that the Lord is good." So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are already strong, but because you feel your weakness. Come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right to do so, but come to this table because you need the Lord's mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would very much like to love him more. Come to this table because Jesus loves you and gave himself for you. Come to this table and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hear now the words of institution, faithfully recorded for us by St. Paul in his first letter to Corinth. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And now, following along on the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you our thanks and our praise, to worship you in spirit and in truth, in every place where your glory abides. You laid the very foundations of the cosmos. The heavens are the work of your hands. They shall one day perish, but you shall endure forever. You, Lord, are always the same, and your time will never end. You have fashioned each of us in your image. You have called us to be your people. But time and again we turned away from you, leaving sin and death to reign. But still you loved us and sought us out again and again. And in Jesus Christ, your grace has defeated death and reopened the way to eternal life. Therefore, we join with all of your people in every time, in every place, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With the confidence of those who have been called, claimed, and redeemed by the Lord Jesus, we join our voices, saying the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This cup is the new covenant, sealed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us now show each other a sign of that peace.
Let us come together in prayer. Father God, we come to you in prayer from your table, having shared your peace with you and with each other. We bring to you those who cannot share in this peace through ignorance of your word. We give thanks for and pray for your blessing on those who bring your word to those in spiritual darkness. Through organizations such as the Wycliffe Translators, our street pastor teams, and those who witness in our local schools. We bring to you those around the world who have no physical or mental peace caused by conflict or oppression. We pray for their release from the torment they suffer. We bring to you those who are hungry or homeless. We pray for their relief and the agencies doing so much to help, always in very difficult circumstances. Today we remember especially the people caught in the earthquake and tsunami on Sulawesi. We pray that the relief workers will be able to bring some help to those who have lost all they had, and seek your peace for the families torn apart by this tragedy. We ask your peace and your comfort for all who mourn. A recent loss or one of many years, they all bring pain, questions, and loneliness. Help us to know that those we feel we have loved and lost are not lost, but they are safe in your keeping. And help us know your comfort and strength in times of sadness. We pray today especially for the families and the friends of Mrs. Janet Cameron and of Mr. Stuart Reed, whose funerals were both held recently. Father, help us to carry your peace with us as we move into the week ahead. In the name of your Son, our Rock and our Redeemer, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. We now sing our closing hymn of praise to the Lord, Longing for Light. going to take minister's prerogative and do something a bit different right now. So we've talked this morning about how discipleship means faithfulness and obedience, even when we can't see the way forward, even when things take longer than we expect. Now, there is someone here in our midst who has faithfully served as church treasurer for 13 years, a bit longer than originally anticipated, perhaps. I'm seeing a small nod from Ian Rigby, our general treasurer. But Ian, as you step down formally as general treasurer, and as Mr. Andrew Ratcliffe formally takes up the role, we are so grateful to you, Ian, for your years of faithful service, for helping keep the ship straight. Our words can't express how grateful we are to you, and to you as well, Andrew. Ian, would you come up here? Andrew, would you come up here? I know. These are but two examples of what it means to obey and honor God's call. This call of discipleship comes out to us all, not just to the select few. Each and every one of us has this call of obedience and faithfulness on our lives. So we pass the baton from one to the next, and we thank you both very much for your service. Now receive the benediction. Go forth from this place now. Live into the call of obedience placed upon each of our lives. Live into the grace God gives us to obey. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore.